All right, well, we're in Ecclesiastes this morning. Or we're going to start there. How's that? Chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your many blessings. And pray, Lord, that you would guide us through your word today, Lord, through all my scribbly notes and all, Lord, that you would bring clarity to mind, that you would encourage us as a body, Lord. And may you be glorified, ultimately, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I got thinking about, you know, the end of the year, the beginning of the next, and the change in seasons and so forth. And I just wanted to read through, really, chapter 3 here, talk about a little bit, and then go to Ephesians 5 and hopefully encourage all in the upcoming year here. But Solomon here writes in verse 1, he says, "Everything there is a season, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away," as we learned yesterday, right? "Maybe beyond, I should say, beyond time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love, a time and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." A lot of time there. A lot of time. Just, you know, and as we look at that, you know, the seasons there means that there's appointed times, that God appoints these times, and certainly they're not always pleasurable times. You know, death isn't pleasurable. And that's why Jesus came, right, to wipe out death for us. But certainly, he never wanted us to stay in that valley. So there's these different seasons and these different facets of life that we experience. And the list contains a gamut, right? A gamut of pinnacles and certainly a gamut there of them dreadful valleys. But, you know, if you look at even the season that we're in today, we got here because of events that had preceded it. And we'll get to the season next because of the events that happened in this season. There's always a good thing, right? We always like, oh, we're looking forward to the spring flowers and the spring rains and the summer sun and all that. We're not looking toward the end of summer because that's when we go back to school, or that's when the warmth stops and it starts to get cooler. But we love the fall because the colors of the trees. But then once the leaves are all falling down, we kind of despise all the grayness and we oscillate through these seasons, and they're good for us, right? I mean, yesterday I heard somebody say it was so gloomy outside, you know? So it was, right? Just the way the seasons work, right? And so, but when we think of this in a life sense, it's very easy to get caught up in one stage of the season that perhaps is maybe a little more depressing than others, maybe a little less enjoyable than others, but they have been purposed for us by God. So we should think of that as pretty special, right? That God has placed these things in. See, what I'm always trying to consciously do when I'm in these seasons is, oh, God, why am I in this season? Are you trying to show me something? Are you trying to show me something about my heart? And maybe you've done that before, and God does. He's pretty faithful, isn't he? He just comes along and he shows you a scripture, maybe points something out in your own life and says, Fred, this is why I've got you here. I've got you here in this season because I want to show you something about your heart. And it's not, he's not like us. We don't, you know, he's not pointing out our faults for no reason, right? Because sometimes we do that to each other, right? If we're honest, we'll say, well, I don't like this about you. God says, you know, I want to reveal this or expose this sin in your life so that I can draw you closer to myself, so I can have better fellowship with you, right? And so some of those seasons, you know, we can't look at them and dismiss them as being badness all the time. Sometimes it's the goodness of the Lord that allows us to go through them seasons. I wish we could look at the whole picture sometimes. Wouldn't it feel better maybe if we could only see what God sees and see the whole picture? Because sometimes we have a glimpse of that when we get to the end of a season and we look back and we think, you know, it's a good thing I went through that. Because now, Brother Joe over here, he's going through that, and I understand that, and I can sympathize with him, and I can comfort him, and I can encourage him in that season. So I think, you know, we have to put on different glasses to read chapter 3 here. You know, we have to put on glasses that the Lord has given us through the eye of Scripture, so that when we run into these seasons, and guess what? We're going into another season as a body, right? We're going into a different season now. It's a new beginning for us. I look at this church selling, and, you know, we've had the church up on the market for a long time, I mean, intermittently. And now God has got us to a certain point of, you know, we're pretty much within a week of closing on this building and allowing the Lord to take the other church into that season, right, of owning this building. The winter and the storms. No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully not for them. You know, I'm praying that the Lord would open up doors of hope for people to come in and receive the gospel. You know, the one thing that I'm always amazed of when we get into these things where, you know, like they're a Hispanic church moving into this, and you think, wow, is there that much Hispanic folks or Latinos or around this portion? But as the Lord has done that, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a lot of Latinos and Spanish-speaking people, I'll say, within this city. All of a sudden, it's more than just Ed, you know. And now there's more than just Ed, you know. There's a lot of them. So I think God's got something, some purpose beyond what we could have achieved here as a church, as we are, you know. So God'll, if we're willing, God will pick us up and still use us to convey the truth, convey the gospel of grace, right, to others. So there's these seasons. And there's various things. There's various seasons. So we're either, you know, people say, well, you're either going into a storm or coming out of a storm. I think the same thing with seasons. We're either going into a season or we're coming out of a season. And we want to be equipped. We want to be equipped to when we're in a season, perhaps that we're, you know, maybe not very enthusiastic about, that we're equipped to continue to walk the way we should walk. And I think Ephesians 5 points out, you know, what we should strive for. So let's go there, Ephesians 5. As we read through this, this text, in my estimation, is very rich. There's a lot in here that we won't discuss all together, but I did want to go through it. I think it's, and certainly if you see something, underline it. And you can go back and do a little study on that. But how are we to proceed in our season? You know, what does our walk look like? You know, and I think in this section of scripture, we're going to look at verses 1 through 21 there. There's a deliberacy that we have as Christians in our walk. We want to be deliberate in how we walk our Christian life. And a lot of it hinges on, I think, verse 20 or 32 of chapter 4 there. It says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, God in Christ, forgave you." Think about that. Kind to one another. You need to be tender. You know, sometimes I'm not always the tenderest. My speech isn't always tender toward people that I love. You know, I have a tendency of saying what I mean, and that's okay. But I think there's a tenderness that needs to go along with that. And forgiving one another. And we draw our example from Christ, right? Who forgave us the ultimate thing, that's of our sin. So much do we hang on to things from people, you know, whether they're true or not true. You know, that bitterness can set in, and all of a sudden we're not forgiving others. We're not tender towards them. We're not kind towards one another. And when it speaks one another, I really think it's talking there about the ones that have been forgiven. The church, we've been forgiven. And sometimes our kindness isn't, exemplified there. It says, therefore, telling us that it hinges on that previous verse, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. So we're to walk in love. We're to progress in love. You know, do you love to the max? Well, probably not. So let's progress in love. That's the thought here this morning, is that as we enter another season here for our church, for us as individuals, as we enter another year, let us love as Christ loves. It says there to be imitators of God. That doesn't mean to put on a show. It means to follow his example, to imitate what he does. You know, and it says walk in love as Christ also has loved us. You know, that word there is apageo. I said that wrong. Agapeo. Is that how you say it? Agapeo? I don't know. But it points to a love that is in the past, right? Agape, right? Agapeo. There, maybe that's right. But it points to a love that was done in the past, that God so loved us that he died for us while we were yet sinners. right? I mean, that really, that verse in itself just kind of clings to my heart. And I say, Lord, do I love people even though they don't love me? Or is my love a condition of how much they love me? And he loved, it says there, and given himself for us. You know, I don't think you can separate those two words, that love and that given himself seems to be a package deal there. They're inseparable. You know, as we walk in love, and we should be given ourselves, right? As an offering, it says, and as an offering and a sacrifice to God. That's how Christ gave his love to us, is that it was an offering that he gave. It was a gift. It was a gift of life that Christ would give himself, right? And at the same time, he gave himself as a sacrifice. It was something, you know, this sacrifice was costly. The blood that was shed for our sins was costly to God. He gave his only begotten Son, as we read, right, in chapter 3 there of John last week, that it was a costly thing, but it was sweet. It was a sweet-smelling aroma that was satisfying to God the Father. Goes on and it says, but fornication in all uncleanness and or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. I like that. God tells us what not to do, but he also tells us what to do. He doesn't leave that out and you know, and then we pray that we're doing the right thing. He gives us an alternative to all this sinful acts, the fornication, the uncleanness, the covetousness. It says there shouldn't even be named among us, meaning that shouldn't be our reputation. All this filthiness, this talking, this foolish talking and coarse jesting and all that stuff, you know. After I read this, everybody's human and we make them coarse gestures, right? And it's not like what we used to make, but it's still there. Ever noticed that? It's not as bad, Lord, as I used to joke around. But it's still, what are we supposed to be doing? Lifting each other up. And you find yourself making some coarse gestures. It might not be filthy talk or anything. It just might be putting down somebody else, you know? And I'm pretty good at that. I can put down the majority of you if I really spend enough time, right, to do that. But it's that coarseness, right? You know, and I think about sandpaper. You know, when you take a coarse piece of sandpaper, it takes a lot of the wood right off very instantly, or whatever the surface is that you're sanding. Where the finer sandpapers, the less coarse, the more fine, are more of a polishing, right? That's the sandpaper we want to use on people. The jokes should be in such a way that they're uplifting rather than putting people down, right? That's how the world works. The world would rather have you put somebody down than lift them up. Right? There's a time to build up, right? We want to be the ones that take that opportunity, that time to build each other up. You know, and I think about things in this, you know, in this current condition of health and all that stuff. People in this body need to be lifted up, right? They need to be built up. They need to be told that they're special and that God has purposed this time for them, this season for them, so that they don't feel like they're way, 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 way out on the sidelines. That they're part of our church. You know, I think those that are on Zoom, they're part of our church. You know, they don't need to be set, they don't need to be told they should be here. And maybe I have said that before. I would like them here. But their conditions, the seasons that they're in, doesn't necessarily help them to be here. So we have to pray for them. We have to continue to uplift them and encourage them that they can do it, that they can be here with us. Not defeat them in saying something that isn't proper, right? We need to watch what we say. And it says, but rather giving of thanks, you know. When we restructured the way we did the service, you know, starting with just the Word of God and then ending with the announcements. When we did that, I was thinking maybe we take out the Thanksgiving, but I more and more that I ponder it, how important it is for us, the weak and wounded, to give thanks sometimes, you know, to have that opportunity to raise your hand and just give a moment of thanks. It reminds us all, I think, even if we sit here today and we didn't have something to share, that it alerts us that we need to be able to thank the Lord, even in our quiet times in our personal lives. Goes on there, it says, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So again, you know, and it's the main thing I think of that verse is that where do we have our focus? Where do we have our focus? Fornicators obviously focus on the body and just the satisfaction there of you know, that them fleshly desires. The unclean person, I think of the water, the word there, you know, I don't know if this is proper, but I think of the watering of the word. You know, somebody that's unclean, you know, you say to your kids, you know, you go to the bathroom, you wash your hands, right? And dry them. And you want them to be clean, right? Well, God wants us to be, our souls to be clean. And that we're to water our souls with the washing of the Word. You know, it's important for us. And that covetous man, you know, that man that sits and thinks there. So we've got body, soul, and mind here that thinks about, you know, what he would desire to have. He says, who is an idolater, right? They're worshiping that item or maybe that lifestyle or whatever, you know. How many of us have sit around and we see the $1 million contracts come up, or they're going to be $1 billion contracts pretty soon come up for these ball players, and we sit there and say, what would I do with $1 million, you know? And we, boy, I wish I had that, and I wish I had that car, and I wish I had that other thing. And you know, the more you have, the more headaches you have. And but we forget that in an instant, and we're idolaters sometimes. But it says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. So there's an encouragement there to keep away from that stuff, you know, to be separate, you know, to be holy as God is holy. There's this encouragement here. Don't partake in the sins of them, those people. 2 Timothy 5, verse 22 says, don't share others. With other people's sin, don't share with them their sin. You know, be careful There's a warning there. Be careful. Don't fellowship where that sin is abounding. Because all that, right, casts out love. They don't walk in love. They walk in lust. We've heard it before. You know, they lust the things of this life. We're not here. We're, right, we're waiting upon the coming city, right? We're waiting upon what's ahead of us. You know, that the Lord is going to do a wonderful work there, and He's going to allow us to participate in it. And then this next section here, for you were once in darkness, and the key word there is once. You don't stay in darkness. What happens when you stay in darkness? They found out that there's fish at the bottom of the ocean that are blind. Why? Because it's complete darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, walk as such. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is, you know, goodness and righteousness. You know, we're filled with the Spirit of God. We are His children. We've accepted what He did on the cross for us. And we are His. And in return, because we're His, He fills these vessels with His Spirit. And the Holy Spirit resides in us. So the fruit should be goodness and righteousness and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Isn't that our motivation? We want to be pleasing to the Lord. We want to know what's acceptable. We don't want to be doing things that are unacceptable to the Lord. That phrase there, finding out, means to prove or to scrutinize. It means, you know, we should look at our lives a little thoroughly and say what really is acceptable to the Lord. In Romans 12, in the first two verses there. So I don't have them memorized. And I'd probably screw them up if I tried to say it, so I'm going to read it. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. We're enabled by the mercies of God, right? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, we should find out what is acceptable to the Lord, and we should live that way. We should spend our time with Him, finding out His heart, knowing His heart. You know, Lord, what's Your will here? What's Your will? And that means that we need to make an effort. We can't just sleep on our Bibles, right? Osmosis doesn't work that way. We need to be reading them. We need to be studying them. We need to be taking advantage of different resources, even within our small body. I mean, we got Sunday morning, of course. We got Wednesday morning. We could have Wednesday morning. Maybe that's a prophetic word from the Lord. We're going to start Wednesday mornings. I'm just teasing. We've got Wednesday evening, right? And we're going to start Hosea in a couple weeks here, right? We got prayer coming up. We can pray together. We can come and pray together. And we got men's study on Saturdays. We got women's study on Mondays. Really, you know, don't give me any excuses. Give them to the Lord. because he's got a more tender heart than I do in a lot of those things. But we need to sometimes take inventory of our lives and say, what's more important to us? Knowing his, what's acceptable to him? We want to know that, don't we? I do. I want to know what's acceptable to him. I don't want to be doing something that's unacceptable to the Lord. Right? None of us would put our hands up for that. None of us would say, oh yeah, I just live for that. Right? To displease him. No. And I want to draw closer to him, you know, and that's the benefit. See, if we want to find out what is acceptable to him, all of a sudden we're in fellowship with God. We get to draw closer to him. As I think about the church here and how we, the church building that is, and how much garbage we threw out. That's our, I don't know if you've been counting, but I've been counting. That's our fourth dumpster that we've thrown out, right, out of here. And most of it really has just been garbage. It's been in the building for a long time. And I feel like that's kind of our lives. Isn't that our lives sometimes? Our lives are, we compact things in our lives, and we know that it shouldn't be in there. And we, God has shown us that that shouldn't be in there, yet we house it forever and ever and ever, you know. It would seem, anyways. Maybe I'm the only one that can raise their hand on that. Where I look at it and, Lord, I know you, yeah, you showed me this last year too, you know. And finally I repent and it's gone. It's in the dumpster. The guy's hauling it away for the seagulls. But what's acceptable to you, Lord? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what the light is for. The light is that God gives us is so that we expose those things that are in darkness. Why? So that we can remember them? No, he exposes them so that we can avoid them. We don't want to be there anymore. We don't do those things. And we avoid those things. And now that we avoid those things, doesn't mean that we become judgmental toward other people that are dealing with the same things. We understand what it means to be in darkness. We were all there at one point. Right? Whether it was drug addiction or just plain old sin, being a big old sinner. We were in darkness at one point. And God gave us the understanding and the ability to see that that was not acceptable to the Lord. And he exposed it in our lives and we repented. And it was gone. And now we avoid them things. We had a drinking problem. We don't go sit on the bar stool. Right? We have a cussing problem. We don't go sit around somebody that's always cussing. We avoid those things, right? We avoid them. We don't want to be there because we know the Lord isn't pleased with them. But all things that are exposed are made manifest, meaning they're made visible by the light, and whatever it makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Open your eyes. Awake. You know, usually when you're asleep, you don't know you're dreaming. You ever notice that? Very seldom are you asleep and you're thinking, oh, I'm asleep and I'm just dreaming. I had the weirdest dream last night. I can't tell you what it's about. It. I went to bed, and about a half hour later, I woke up dreaming this dream, and it was bizarre, and it was really kind of like, how did I get here? And it was a weird thing, you know. And but when I woke up, I realized that was a dream. But I didn't realize that until I woke up. You know, you don't know you're sleeping until you wake up. You ever fall asleep and 3 hours later you're in that recliner and you wake up and you're like, wow, did I just sleep for like 10 minutes? And then you look at the clock and it's 3 hours later and you're like, man, I must have been tired, huh? But you knew you were sleeping then. It says here, wake up, you who sleep. Sometimes it has to be that way that the Lord just yells at us and says, wake up, Fred. You got to wake up on this, you know? But you know you can do a lot of things while you're sleeping. You can talk, right? Have you ever done that before? Well, somebody else has alerted you that you've been talking in your sleep. You can walk. I remember it as a youngster. I used to walk in my sleep, and we had our bathroom tore up, and there was a hole in the floor, and I remember my mom saying she went ahead of me and blocked the way because I was just walking around. You know, I didn't know. I didn't know I was sleepwalking until I was told I was sleepwalking. Right. You can sing in your sleep too. I know that for a fact because Karen knows that for a fact. Because I used to be a rap artist. Okay, she can share with you the the rap I did for her that night. I didn't record it, though. She might have. I don't know. But the point is that God calls us to wake up. He calls us to wake up and sleep from our sleep and see things that are exposed, and then to walk in a way that we haven't been walking, to arise from that dead state. Christ has saved us. He has given us new life. He is conforming us into His image, and we're to walk as if we have the light of Christ within us, His Spirit. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means carefully. That you take notice to where you walk. Right? When I'm sleeping, see, when I'm sleepwalking, I could possibly fall down into a basement that is wide open, right? A bathroom that floor doesn't exist any longer. I could fall into that. But God is asking us to, as we are awake and we have risen from the dead and we have the light of Christ within us, He says, live carefully. Be careful how you live. Live wisely. Don't be foolish. Not as the fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 there, it uses the same word that's used here, but it says it's opportunity. It's like redeeming the time is more of a seizing the opportunity. Let's seize the opportunity. I heard one person say it this way: you buy up opportunity like a shrewd businessman. When you see it, you buy it. You redeem it, right? You want to redeem that time. And the other reason for redeeming the time is because the days are evil. In chapter 24 of Matthew, Jesus would warn us about the times that were coming, that there would be false prophets, that we needed to be ready for it. We want to be ready for it. The way we're ready for it is that we spend time with the Lord in His Word. That we allow His Word to water our spirit. It says in verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, there's a lot of things in the Word of God that can tell us what the will of the Lord is. You don't have to go to some special anointed service to find out the will of the Lord. Most cases, you can just read your Bible. We're outside of that, and we're trying to find the will of the Lord. And what we're really saying is, we want the Lord to approve of our lifestyle. We want Him to approve of what we're going about to do. Right? But He's given us a whole lot of stuff here that we can learn, that we can meditate on, and that we can do and not do. And it is considered the will of God, His Word, in His Word. And you do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Dissipation just means waste of time. And so, drinking, getting drunk with wine, and the foolishness that we, and it doesn't just mean for wine either. It just means the foolishness that we undertake sometimes, right? I mean, a lot of us, we can look back and we can say, boy, we wish we didn't do that. That's just a waste of time. We see it as what it's worth. But he says instead, he said there's better opportunities than going to the bar and getting drunk on New Year's Eve. Right? Driving drunk home and killing a couple people on your way. There's better opportunities. Right? Let's redeem the times. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's a variety of things. Singing is very, very good for us. Very good for our souls. Not only is singing good for us, but it's good for others as we sing to them, right? Well, most of the time. But speaking to one, look at the variety here. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He doesn't say you have to. Everybody's different, right? Everybody's different. Sing the song. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. That's really who it's for. To back up there in verse 18, rather than fill yourself with the cheers of the world, fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. There's no better way to be filled. So many people try to fill the voids with things that aren't of the Lord, The wine, the beer, the drugs, something to make us feel good. And really, what we need to do is get with the Lord. I'll testify to that. I don't always feel good. I don't always feel happy. Sometimes I'm sad. Sometimes I'm angry. Sometimes I don't get with the Lord enough. And when I get into those feelings, those emotions are natural. That's what we're born with. They're not to depress you more. To get you to open your understanding up and say, there's something wrong here. Something wrong. And those things, they come about to us because God loves us and He wants us to realize that there's something wrong. then there's something wrong, as usually. And we're not filled with the Spirit. We need that filling of the Spirit. We need to sit with Him sometimes in our grief, in our loneliness, in our sorrows, and allow Him to speak to us. And sometimes, I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but often is the case, as far as I'm concerned, is that He will speak to my heart, and all of a sudden, there will be singing in my heart again. You know, I remember going through a time, you know, a while back, and this is years ago, and I remember, I can't even remember the circumstances, tell you the truth, but all I remember is the result and Karen noticing that I was singing. God does that for us. Spend time with Him. I think of all, everybody that's depressed and just maybe they've given up a little bit, you know, given up and just think that God just isn't going to heal them or make them what they used to be, you know, because we can feel that way when we get older. You know, I told Karen the other day, I said, or yesterday actually, I was very thankful for Matt and Adam and for the lifting. I said, I'm starting to realize I can't lift what I used to lift, you know. Because the body wears out, right? And that can be tough on the, you know, on you. And you might think it can be wearing on you when you're used to doing it all your life, right? Those things. But you know, we have so much more than that. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He just wants you to call upon His name, spend some time with Him, allow Him to fill you with His Spirit, and allow Him to bring that song back into your heart. I think if that should be our prayer this coming year. If the Lord would, if He would fill us with His Spirit anew, and that He would bring that song back into your heart, that song that he used to give you. That's a good prayer, I think. Verse 20, give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're lacking the song in our heart, sometimes we lack the thanksgiving too, and we need to give thanks in all things. The ups, the valleys, the pinnacles, we need to give it all. We can't stop giving Him thanks for that. Because that's part of our worship to Him. We're marked by these things that happen in our lives, but we are, as Christians, we are marked by the worship that we give Him and the gratitude that we show to Him. And this is a worship to the Lord, but it also, we want to encourage others to worship God in spirit and in truth. Thankful always for all things. I wish I could say that I do this perfectly, but I don't. Right? But I think we should have a desire that, Lord, no matter what the circumstances, how bleak they look, I want to give You thanks. I want to give You thanks for those things. And lastly, submitting to one another in the fear of God. His submission there is to be under rank. It's a military term. Something that we should delight in. There is an order here, right? I mean, when you're in the military, there's an order, you know, the privates, the lieutenants, the sergeants, and so forth, the generals. There's an order, and certainly there is an order here, and it's good, right? But here it says submitting to one another. Submitting to one another. It's not to be thought of as oneself, but to others, right? It requires a team attitude, right? Team attitude, kind of a working together, right? I was thinking about analogy for this. It's like me being the lineman on the football team, and I make the block. The running back goes through it, and he makes the touchdown. And I celebrate for that touchdown that's being made, right? Yet I didn't make it, but I was part of the team. And he comes back, and he thanks me for the block. And then we take the team out to supper and celebrate for the win. See, it's all together. That's submitting one to another. You know, I think that's something that the church maybe is lacking a little bit. Because it's not about the guy that stands at the podium. It's not the guy that teaches the Bible studies. It's not the lady that teaches the Bible studies. Right? It's about us participating as the body of Christ. Right? Us doing our own part. Submitting to one another out of the respect, really, for God. Because we're all His children. But as we come upon this season, I just wanted to read maybe a couple more verses here. Wrong way. Over in Hebrews, you're familiar with that book, right? Chapter 12. I just want to read a couple verses here. In verse 1 there, partway through, it says, Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. No doubt it's important that we keep our eyes on Jesus, right? The author. As we go into this next year, we need to keep our eyes on Him. What we do, what we say, what we take part in, you know, we just need to keep our eyes on Him. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained, if this was me speaking, you know that already, or am already perfect, but I press on. Here's Paul sitting in prison writing his letter. But I press on. There's quite a bit of encouragement in that to us. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching toward those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things that are behind. We can't do anything about what we did last year.
or didn't do last year.
We can sit around and mope. We can sit around and say we wish we did this better or that better for Christ. But now we have opportunities. We can redeem the time. We can move forward. Right? As Paul would say, I press on. I can't help that I'm in prison. But I'm pressing on. Right? Then go to Proverbs, and I'll finish with this verse. Proverbs 4. You guys got there faster than I did. I should have marked my Bible. Should have cheated a little bit. Verse 25 says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Remember in Hebrews we said, we talked about being established in grace. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Certainly, pay attention to our paths. Pay attention where we walk. Pay attention how we walk. If we're walking in love, if we're walking in the light, for walking in the wisdom of Christ. We want that complete discernment there. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. You've led us this far. You'll lead us the rest of the way, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you would just have your way with us, Lord, completely and fully. And may you just work in our lives this year, Lord. Help us to love people the way you loved people, Lord, sacrificially, Lord. And may you be glorified in our lives, Lord. Everything that we do and say, Lord, may it ultimately prove to be a witness for you, a positive witness, a true witness, Lord, of you. And we know you are faithful, that you provide us with every mercy that we need and all the grace, Father, to sustain us and to equip us. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.